Welcome to Crest in partnership with Elusive. Producer Dodd here, welcoming you to the autumn 2025 episode in which Patrick Langdon Dark and Cindy Asosgian join Tom for a breakdown of the European and international contest season. We also had a quick chat about the exciting name storms that have come through this autumn and delved back into the topic of Finns, which we started a few months ago with Logan Nicol. At the time of recording, friend of the show and former guest Yolanda Hopkins only needed to get through a few more heats to confirm a slot on the World Championship Tour for next year. We are delighted to announce that since then, Yo-Yo has done just that, meaning that she'll be up against the world's best in 2026. This is a very exciting prospect, not only for Yo-Yo, but for Wales, as let's not forget that her mum is from Bridgend. Anyway, Tom started by asking Pat about the conclusion of the 2025 season.
Do you consider the 2025 season competitively as like it's over? There's no more events this year now for you.
I've sort of been in that frame of mind. Yeah, I think we got the British, but the way they do the British every year is it's always like at the end when you're like sort of like ready to have a break.
Yeah.
So it always seems like I'm probably looking at it the wrong way, but it always seems like it's almost like an afterburner, you know.
And then, obviously, it depends in the Olympic cycle with where it falls, doesn't it?
But then,
would you probably have enough of the criteria met to still be picked for the next ASAs if you didn't attend Thurso?
I'm not sure when the next ISA is, but maybe, yeah.
So are you going to Thurso?
Probably. I haven't really decided. I've said I'm going, but...
Yeah,
I think if the forecast looks awful, maybe I'll think about it.
Okay. And Cindy, you're not available for Thurso.
Yeah, I think all the women shortboarders are asked, but I was in a tough pickle there. I heard Thurso was really good, but yeah, I can't go.
A long way.
But are you excited, though, in the sense to surf Thurso? Because I was told that surfing Thurso is the experience of the trip. Or have you already done that?
Yeah, I've surfed it a fair bit.
Oh, okay.
It is good. I think that's the way I'm sure when I get there, I'll be like...
Getting the zone.
This is serious comps, heats, blah, blah, blah. But yeah.
And then you'll find out bagpipes as well.
Yeah, but I've sort of flipped it. Like, a few of my mates who aren't doing the comp, or at least one or two want to come. So I'll probably just maybe chase some waves.
Yeah.
And it can be like the comp and a surf trip.
So Euro QS at the moment, you haven't got the rank you would want, but if we look at 2025, because obviously the seasons now are 25 to 26, so we're in the 25 to 26 season, but we're also talking about the year as 2025. The first half of 2025, you did have a couple of really good results, didn't you? Morocco.
Yeah, Morocco was good. One more heat would have been really nice.
Yeah.
But it's still, I think I jumped like three spots, so I was sort of in the qualification bracket after Morocco.
You were, yeah. Or... getting eliminated in third more often in four-man heats than fourth. Do you ever think about that? Or is that requiring a lot of maths?
Nah, you do. You do. You sort of know at the time. You never really think about it at the time because you're just pissed you lost. But then sort of like a month.
Because that's the 17th or 25th.
A month down the line or something, you start going,
that's 150 points.
Yeah, there was something there.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty good at that. Like, I either win the heat or I get fourth.
Yeah. Okay. And your best result in the 25 to 26 season so far, the 17th at Lackenau. But there's plenty to come.
That was a comp I probably should have done well because it was small and grindy, but I think it was past the point of like, I'm good in like these small kind of grindy waves, and it was like tiny.
But you're locked in for the rest of the Euro QS. You're going to be
for sure.
Is the goal still the goal?
It's more difficult now because I'll have to do really well in the next two events. But
yeah,
it doesn't change. I guess that's the goal I set.
Yeah. And you're carrying kind of, I suppose, two goals at the same time because you're probably thinking about where, you know, the possibility of, I mean, you're in the GB development group, aren't you? You know, so you're thinking about qualifying for an Olympics through an ISAs at some point as well.
Yeah.
Do you have a kind of priority of the two, or, you know, do they overlap? Is it like, right, okay, I've got my mind into the QS and then all of a sudden, oh, right, hang on, it's the ISAs.
I think... maybe I should be more focused on the ISAs and the Olympics and all that. That feels like there's certain crew who are like, you speak to them and they're like, some of the Germans and stuff, they're really, like, really focused on the ISAs.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, and like, for a career, it's always been more focused on the WSL. And I think GB would want you to, they actually prefer hearing you talk like the QS is just reps and then the ISA is the big deal.
But sponsorship, but
it's hard, and it's hard to like, something that happens every couple of years is like, it's hard to base your day in, day out training on something that's like once every 3 years.
And nowadays with all the webcasts, you know, your exposure by being on in WSL contests and, you know, appearing and, you know, in heats, people watching you live.
And I just think it's, I don't know. I think that's like the most prestigious if you're a, if you're a pro surfer, it's the WSL.
And since we, you and you spoke to me and Rhino just after you'd missed it by one place the first time.
Yeah.
Since then, you've competed twice in Challenger Series contests.
Yeah.
Is it a pretty exciting adventure, or is it kind of, you know, is it sort of...
Yeah, I think I'd be almost better now.
Right.
Like, I'm more mature now, more used to being around, like, the big names, and, like, not more... Well, I guess, yeah, just, like, but when I first did it, it was, like...
Of them too.
It was, like, whoa, this is, like... I was so nervous the first time I did it.
I think you had Mikey McDonald when you first hit, didn't you?
Yeah, and the machine, Luca Mazzinas. So I... Yeah, that was all of it, like, and now I think, like, mentally I'm probably a lot stronger.
Yeah.
Still, the surfers are still, there's going to be guys that are better than me, but...
People don't always know how this stuff works, but you do have to actually enter the Challenger Series events.
To get the alternate spots.
To get the alternate spots. So, has that process happened for all the remaining Challenger Series events of the 25 to 26 season, right the way through to Newcastle?
Nah, they wouldn't be open yet.
That one's not open.
Yeah.
So, but you didn't enter Sakurama and you haven't...
No, I think...
I suppose there's not going to be
there a was spirit a, pipe, like, some of the... I think one of the Euros who was around the same position as me got into Portugal.
Yeah.
So I did see, I was like, oh, maybe I could have entered
Devier, Thomas Devier, was it, I think?
Yeah, and Renan.
Renan Granville got in, so did he.
But I sort of... Yeah, when I was younger, that was sort of like... Oh, I could get in and get a chance and all this. But I think now I'd either, if I'm on, I'd do it. And if I wasn't, then I probably won't do it.
Yeah, and there's not going to be anyone not turning up to pipe, is there?
Probably not. No, not unless, like, financially, but then still, I don't think I'm going
to. You'd need €2 to be in the way anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and it's, it'd be expensive just to go there for that.
Highest Brits at the moment on the Euro Tour is Lucas 12th, Alice 12th in the ladies, which is tantamount to slightly lower technically, isn't it? Because it's a slightly smaller cut.
Yeah.
And Lucas winning Boardmasters and then not having as good a
subsequent
couple of events.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right though.
Oh, you think he'll be up there, do you?
Well, I mean, I don't know how the rest of it will play out, but he's too good not to back it up.
Yeah.
He'll probably get at least another fifth or something.
Yeah. And you,
if he doesn't get injured, that's the only stretch.
You know Alice well. Where's her head at for the rest of the Eurocross season?
Yeah, she's good. I think she's pretty motivated.
Yeah.
I've surfed with her a lot, but... Yeah, I don't know. It's like... It's so long since the next event. You're like... Your mindset could change like 4 times.
Yeah.
Like, you almost like could be really motivated now, and then you get to Christmas and you're like... sort of in limbo mode, and then, I don't know, it's just managing this, like, long, good few months before you get to Morocco. So you're, like, not burnt out by the time you get there, but you're, like...
Yeah.
You've done all the hard work as well.
So would you actually kind of lower your game? I mean, we were surfing the point here last weekend, and I thought you surfed really well. obviously, I've got to say that, because, you know, we've persuaded you to come on the line. But I think one of the things that I would say I enjoyed seeing is, you know, we see good surfers come in the point, producer Dodd, for example, being one of them.
That's harsh.
For the record, I got about 4 waves on Sunday, and Pat got about 20.
Local.
2. but I thought one of the things that I thought was quite enjoyable for us was to be able to surf with someone where it's not just a good surfer, but it's a good surfer who's actually... putting 100% into every surf, as in, you know, you'll have exactly the right board under your feet, exactly the right fins, the right deck grip. You'll have been thinking about every single turn, and you're fit, yeah, and you're flexing, and you're actually like kind of a training good surfer. But would you kind of fallow it a bit and sort of go, right, okay, you know, I'm surfing longboards and single fins a bit, or maybe even not surf a bit, and just kind of like,
so like,
and then you sharpen again for an event.
I sometimes wish I could do that.
Yeah.
So like at the minute I've been like, it's the first time in a long time I've probably been a bit like, Jesus, I don't want to see a rash vest.
Yeah.
Like after the ISAs, I was just like, I'm not normally really like that, but I think maybe because I push it, I don't want to sound like the wrong way, but I think I push it quite hard in terms of like training and competitive surfing and stuff.
Fair enough.
So I think when I got back,
I think it's that honesty that people quite like about you.
Yeah, so, I think like...
You say what you're thinking.
You know, like, you sort of do, like, maybe like after last year I did quite well and just missed, and then it's like, boom, we're into the next season, and then it's like...
And you've got a 49.
Crap, this isn't going as well. And then, whoa, this isn't as good as well.
Yeah.
And then you go through the whole season and you're like, Jesus Christ, like...
Yeah.
Like, sort of just like... But it was weird because I really want to go surfing. Like, me and Alice were surfing Gennif and it was so bad. And I was like, I'm so keen to come surf, like, twice a day before work, after work, go to the gym, like, do everything right. But I was like, if you asked me to, like, go surf a comp right now, I'm like, God, I don't really care right now. So it's, like, the first time maybe I'm, like, balancing this, like, maybe having a month or two where I don't go into a comp would be beneficial.
Or what if?
But I don't think the single fin and stuff, that doesn't really feel good. Because I still remember, like, at the point, I, like, slipped on a wave and, like, mistimed an end section. And I was talking to my sports psych about it, and I was like, maybe try be, like, a bit nicer to myself. Like, don't be like, fuck, I messed up this one turn at Puff Call Point. Or, like, try to, like, have more positive
self-help. If it helps, I messed up the last turn on my wave out, and I was kicking myself. So you know, and I haven't had a vest.
I did a good air in Checo Bay.
I saw it. Yeah,
I think that might be the best air at Checo Bay.
Matt Schrodetz, the Santa Cruz surfer back in the day, did a couple of airs
Section,
which was because I said to you, don't paddle in, get a left from here.
Yeah.
But just before that, I'd actually said to Lee Chenery, one of the locals, I'd said, oh, I tell you what, if I was a front sider with the air game Pat Scott, I'd have come in here half an hour ago and caught one of these lefts. About 20 seconds later, you did.
Yeah, exactly. It was fun. It was actually super fun.
But you were buzzing. You paddled back out from that and you were like stoked. You had like the look on your face.
Yeah, I stayed and got another one.
Which is, you know.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's a good sign, isn't it? We'll talk about those ISAs, but quickly. You mentioned the Germans and people like that talking about the ISA Worlds as if they're important.
Yeah.
It is interesting, isn't it? GB, 18th, and then above them, Netherlands, 11th, Germany, 9th, Portugal, 7th, France, 4th, and Spain, 3rd.
Yeah, the shocker.
But
I'm being honest, I'm not sure why they were surprised, really. Because, I mean, like, we've got good surfers, but they picked a team, like, probably going to get in trouble for talking about GB, but...
Not long before.
They picked a team... After Boardmasters, two of the people in the team aren't in the squad.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't really give anyone enough that we never went there. Like, these teams are going there and training.
Oh, they go there like a month early, the Germans.
The Netherlands actually did pick their team, like, pretty much there, which is kind of hectic. But they, like, you know what I mean? The Germans, they go there, they do their training camps there. They've got their boards dialed for there. They've, like, been there so many times, they're kind of used to the environment, like...
Yeah.
They know where to go to eat. They know where they go to, like, to stay, or, you know what I mean? They've got everything dialed there. It's such a different environment. I feel like picking the team 2 weeks before, some guys are rushing board, some guys pulled out, so then other people are going. Like, you're not really setting yourself up for, like, the best result. And then we had to do it close to Pantin. I don't know.
Do you get stoked to be commentated on by... Barton Lynch or Chris Cote or one of those guys?
Yeah, it's cool, but I don't actually listen to the commentary when I'm in the comp.
Yeah.
Just in case they're talking shit, so I just...
But do you listen to it afterwards?
Yeah, maybe, but then usually I'm so eggy that I lost or something that I don't go back.
Yeah.
maybe to like get a clip for an Instagram or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is cool, but sometimes I just like prefer not to listen.
Fair enough. And I want to ask you about, I got a new favourite underground ripper from the sort of back end of that bit of, you know, what would you call it, like the kind of edge of the Challenger series.
Yeah.
The Argentinian surfer, Franco Radzunas.
Me and Logan.
I thought, wow, what a surfer. But then I mentioned that to you the other day and you said that he's every bit as good as he looks.
Yeah, me and Logan were psyching on him. It's weird because you don't want to like psych on people when you're like, shit, they might be my side of the draw or something.
Yeah.
But nah, he's like solid. You know them surfers that look like they're like in, like quite sank in the water, like a John.
Yeah.
Like they like board just looks like it sits a bit lower.
Yeah.
He's got that look about him, like lots of grip.
Yeah, I got a feeling.
Logan was looking at his boards actually.
Was he?
He's on the file 50s.
Oh, and what the, oh, right, okay. We got a, I got a feeling we might see more of him. We talk about the women's though, the Euros, the Europeans.
Yeah.
The women's are flying. Yanire.
Yeah,
did you get to watch the final or?
Nah, we were actually flying home. That was pretty heavy. Right. We flew home because we all lost. But the, yeah, that was pretty gnarly. I thought Yo might win because she just couldn't lose a heat. But that Janira does surf pretty sick.
Yeah.
She's like a little Yaga Dora or something.
But in that final, like, you know, both of them had sevens.
And yeah, it was close.
Yanni had two sevens and then Yolanda, like, through a hit, if she made this hit, she would have got it. And but she's on fire.
Yeah,
she has
a
couple. Like,
she's all. She seems to be the bridesmaid quite a lot. Yeah, which is, I think that's what.
Never the bride.
It like fires.
The bridesmaid still gets you to go yourself.
Right? Yeah, we're calling her. We're calling her Welsh. We've decided.
I think it fires her. But I think she's locked. She's going to be locked for this year, I reckon.
Well, at the time of speaking. The challenger is on in Sakurajima, and Yolo needs, if she gets through two heats, seven other surfers have got to win every remaining heat for the rest of the year to stop her qualifying.
Jesus.
And well, notwithstanding, seven other surfers can only lose to each other for the rest of the year if she gets through two more heats.
Ah, okay, yeah.
But if she gets knocked out in either the, you know, the seeded round that she's in now of Sakurajima, then she'd still have to make the same number of heats in the next event because the way that the points increase as you go through rounds goes up so rapidly.
Yeah, okay.
So if she goes through the two heats, she puts herself in a really strong position, but she would still need to make like five or six heats of early round heats to accrue to make the equivalent. So it's all about that next, you know, getting into the
the later rounds.
Yeah, getting out of the round of 16.
Yeah.
Pike is next after Sakurajima.
Yeah, she's pretty strong. I don't know how good all the other girls are, but she's pretty vocal about being confident in them waves.
And you know Yolanda well, don't you?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time with her.
And she is honorary Welsh, isn't she?
Yeah, her mum's Welsh. Oh, her mum?
Mum's from Britain.
Yeah, and her granddad's from Hendy.
Is he? No way. Oh, yeah. So it's like, she's
proper like
Swansea Bridgend.
Yeah.
But has there ever been a Portuguese, you know, woman C-tier? Like, if I was looking up...
Teresa.
Teresa.
That's only a wild card. So there's never been a full-time
Portuguese...
No, I think I tried to look it up beforehand.
Yeah.
And that's why... Yeah, I was just trying to use Google, but yeah. But yeah, so I think she'd be the first.
Possibly in the ASP days.
I didn't go back pre-WSL. Like,
it would have been a lady, I think. Oh, no, and I've got brain freeze. It was a friend of Linda Sharp's, lovely
Brazil,
lady.
Loads of women, like...
Yeah.
Patricia Lopez, in the ASP days, would have been on the WCT very briefly, but that was when it was the... That would have been, you know, like back in the sort of girls don't surf. Don't or can't, you know, the movie.
They do, but
that would have been back in the Lisa Anderson days, you know.
Yeah.
But I was looking at the Challenger Series stats, and if you look on the women's side, in the top 10 right now, you've got five from Europe. So you've got a few Portuguese, Spain, France, albeit Tahiti. And then on the men's Challenger Series side, it's like a mix of the typical like Brazil, Hawaii, Australia, US. Like, have you noticed that? Because you're at the Euros, the ISA, just the powerhouse that's coming out of, like, Europe?
It's been going for a while, I think. Now it's, like, pushed really to the top 10. But I think for the last few years, everyone's been, like, there's, like, three Portuguese girls, at least, that are, like, really strong.
Teresa.
Like Kika, Teresa, yeah, Kika. And Yo.
Yeah. And then you got
Kika's
Nadia.
Kika's had like a breakthrough year, I think, but she's always been strong. Teresa's had like a
ISA World Junior Champion. No, not ISA, yeah. WSL World Junior Champion, yeah.
Yeah, and then the boys, like, obviously there's always good Euros, but...
You got Kali, but he's...
Yeah, it feels like... It's almost like some of the Euro guys, you're like, they're so good enough. Like, even if you probably spoke to the Aussies or the Americans or whatever, they'd all say, like, Jorgen or someone is, like, bonkers good at surfing.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, needs something to click to, for, like, someone like him to get on the tour, maybe.
Adira Matt Train's done in the last couple
of years. Yeah, he had a fifth or something, I think, which was, like, the best he's done.
He's very
good. Which is gnarly.
Well, I thought he was brilliant in that Israel contest years ago that
I think
he won it,
actually.
I think he won it.
No, Ramsey won.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is he European? Kind of.
No, I'm not getting involved. Moroccan, yeah. But he spends a lot of time in France.
Yeah, just round up who we're doing well in the Euros for the Euro side of the challenges, European women in the challenger series. Yeah, YOLO, Kika. Kika's fourth. Nadia, Starbuck, and
you brush over her because she's
I was
so going to
bring
good.
That up in
it's
a
like
second.
Lucas, people like brush over them because it's like, they're so good.
I've circled her as a separate quick topic there because Anat Lelior I've included in
this. Anat's kind of on a roll.
Gone up 15 spots
after
the last
event. She's a beast as well.
But yeah, Tia. Okay, she's on the list of
things
to talk about.
Yeah.
And she's qualified.
Yeah.
Youngest ever to qualify. Yeah. And people say it's a cheap comment, but I'm going to invite you to make it, Pat. Future world champion.
Oh, wow. You'll hear it here first.
Yeah, probably.
I think lots of people have been saying it about it. Do you think Cindy and Farley?
I don't know. Like, Erin Brooks, you know, she's quite young. She joined. It's taken her a little while to get in the zone. She was supposed to be rookie of the year.
I
know Taya's, like,
maybe this,
a different beast, but I don't know. It's tricky, the WCT, right?
What I don't know, which I'm sure if you're that talented, you could just teach them how to do it with time. Because I think if you've got that much talent, you're just...
Yeah.
If someone says, oh, she's not good at barrels, you just go, all right, give her 6 months and she probably will be good.
Yeah.
Especially where she's from.
Yeah.
But I haven't, I don't know if I follow her, I probably should.
Yeah.
But I don't know what she's like in chopes or anything. Maybe she's amazing, but waves like that maybe would be the question mark. Like, in like these days, the way they're trying to push women surfing is like, you have to and you're going to have to be
that's
good at like the box and like...
Yeah.
And pipe and chokes.
It's interesting because I recently watched on this topic. I recently rewatched some of the earliest contests at Chopes, men's Oki, Luke Egan. You know, I think Luke Egan won the event. Oki won the event. Actually, if you look at the surfing being done in the earliest days of Chopes, late 90s, early 2000s, by the men, it's behind where the ladies were surfing Chopes.
Last year,
you know? I mean, they're on longer boards, so that kind of, like, the idea of riding short, that 4-minute mile
like,
hadn't yet been broken.
Getting,
you know?
Like, leggy barrels.
Yeah, but it's not... So I think...
That's
funny, you're
blasting, like, hockey and
stuff. If you put the same... Yeah, if you put the same amount of time in...
Yeah.
You know, so if you give the girls a decade at Chopes, but then I suppose you got Molly Picklum and, you know...
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, because Challenger has pipe coming up, so if she makes it, like, I don't know if she'll compete, but... On the WCT, the first six events, Bells, Margaret River, Snapper, Punta Roca, Sakura, and Jabe, she could do well in those.
Yeah.
You don't throw you throw Tahiti in event seven. She doesn't have to, if she qualifies, has enough points and go on after event nine. You know, she's at Abu Dhabi, Paniche event 11. It's not till 12, which is pipe.
She's going to be gnarly, but I think...
So she's got, you know, and also there's no elimination round. It could be tricky on that end. This next WCT, it's just going to be round one, round two, no elimination
round. I think they're probably looking at it, though, that if she falls off, or not if she, like, if she falls off, because they're not doing the cut anymore,
yeah.
Right? But, like, say she falls off, she's going to get back on. She's too good. Even if it takes a year, 2 years, whatever.
Oh, no, I think she's
I think they're going to pencil, like... They're going to pencil in, like, 4 years for, like, world title runs. I think now it's, like, if she does really well, cool.
Didn't Katie Simmers qualify and then not take her place?
Yeah, she did the Taj Burrow.
Taj Burrow did it in 97 as
well.
That's
pretty baller.
Yeah.
Just now.
And look at her. She's won, I mean, like, world title.
And go and do it again. And world
I sometimes champion. Get surprised. Like, she's so good. And I get surprised because she's, like, so small.
Oh, Katie Simmers.
Yeah, that I'm like...
Oh, yeah, go on, tell us your story. You saw her surf at Oceanside once, didn't you? And you didn't know who she was.
Oh, yeah. So when Logan had a past relation in Oceanside, we used to go there a lot.
The primer for that story, go ahead.
But yeah, why else? We were like 16, 17, cutting about California.
Yeah.
And that sounds bad. Like, our parents just let us, like, cut off the California.
No, but it's, no, we had people proper parenting, traditional parenting.
To the surf
park. And,
still parenting.
Yeah. What do they call it? Lock and chain lock or whatever.
Yeah. Latchkey kids,
yeah.
And
I saw this, like, 10-year-old girl. She was literally, must have been about 10.
Wow.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, they're good at surfing in California. Like, I just thought, oh, maybe this is the level of a 10-year-old girl in California. And I was like, this is baffling. She's unreal. And then, like, a couple of years later, I was like, oh, it's that girl.
It was Katie Simmers.
So, like, I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
I love her post-show, like, wrap-ups, or, like, how is the heat? She's like, I don't know, I'm just glad I surfed it, you know?
I think she's just stoned, to be honest.
I just love it. She's a character. You need her.
And she said, I've promised everyone not to say, you know, this time.
Yeah.
And then she goes, you know.
She coined, you know, pipes.
I don't know. I promised not to say, I don't know. I don't know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But she's changed kind of the narrative for women surfing.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. And so, like, little girl doing a lot. Yeah.
Well, and the wave on that.
I sometimes just don't know how much I like them characters that are, like, the cool, like, I don't
know. Really, oh, I don't like them.
I don't really care, like...
No, I don't like them.
Yeah,
no,
I don't know, don't. Like, sometimes you're like...
It's only okay with me if it's a front.
I think for her, she's
I've got to apologise to...
Yeah, imagine. I get it, for sure.
I've got to apologise to Dane Reynolds, because I hated that whole vibe about Dane Reynolds. And then, and get, you know, to later learn that, you know, he was suffering with...
Yeah, exactly.
...mental health issues and anxiety and things like that. No, I think you're right. I think it's...
I've seen videos, though. I think it was, like, Belly or something saying, like, oh, yeah, Dane loved comps when he was winning. Like, he was, like, all, like... Comps are sick.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah. Well, there was that Trestles one, I remember it, when he got to the final against Fanning and something happened. It was like a panic attack or something, like, just before the final.
That's pretty heavy.
They said it was, like, trouble with his blood sugar levels or something, but it later... Well, maybe it was, and then... I don't know, as Katie would say.
Yeah.
And well, Yola would kill us, but hopefully she's qualified by the time we publish. Let's talk about how she's going to go. She's not in today. Now
it's round of 30. She's seated in the round.
Let's have a look at how she's going to do in those spots.
Okay,
then
she's going to be sweet.
Bells, Margaret's. She's all right for all of them.
She froths fat waves.
When I
stayed with them for like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
down where her and John live, her coach. It's like your second family, but
yeah, and he's a Brit, isn't he?
Yeah, he's from
like London or something.
He's from it's like the one beach that no one talks about in Cornwall. I've never even been there.
I'm not gonna know it then.
Like after Chapelport, I think.
Oh, don't know.
Not Porth Town, Porth.
Morganporth.
No.
Constantine.
You can just call it the town no one knows.
Oh well.
There's a harbour wall there.
Portreath.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from Portreath. He's friends with, like, with Steve England and stuff, all that.
Oh,
like,
okay. Really. Yeah.
But he was a Marine or something, so.
Was he? Then Jay Bay, Cloud Break.
But yeah, anyway, yeah, I stayed with them and we surfed this fat right a bunch and they love it. She loves fat rides, so she's going to be sweet.
Yeah.
She can do a carve.
If she makes it and Ty makes it, what do you think will be the cool rivalries now? So you've got. And they're both quite spicy surfers.
Yolo will pick a fight with one of the Americans, I reckon.
Yeah.
I remember her moaning.
She's so likable, Yolo. She'll speak to anyone that.
Yeah, but she's competitive.
Yeah, in the water, she'll be get bulldozed.
I remember she went on a trip to Jay Bay and she was like really, like, quite angry about the CT girls that were at JV at the time and saying, like, I was better than them all.
Yeah, she's pretty fat.
And why are they on tour? And I was like, Well, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, YOLO, you shortly will be. And, yeah, good luck to you. Let's talk about...
Before you move on,
ooh.
How old is Tia? You don't mention it.
Oh, Tia. 14. Has she turned 15 yet?
No,
she's still 14.
They posted about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Today. She qualified today.
Yeah.
Just yesterday.
Yesterday.
Well, won't be irrelevant
overnight.
To the listener. Overnight.
Yeah.
Very recently. And she, yeah, she won. She's broken. Look, she won a, well, you were in the water waiting for your heat to start when it happened. She won her first pro contest at 12, wasn't it? Or was it? No, she just turned 13.
Oh, Bournemouth in, yeah. Last year, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. She's a freak.
Yeah.
I think we have to throw an honorable mention out to Sally Fitzgibbons just because she's the GOAT. She's still hanging in there as well.
Oh, challenger.
I just keeps, yeah. She's an ISA final.
I wish
she'd
been a world
top
champion.
Three. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
awesome. Well, she's an ISA world champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, she must. She
you met her?
She loves it. I haven't really spoken to her now.
Yeah. Sifted her?
Yeah, probably snaked her.
Of course you have. Let's... let's talk about the waves we've had this autumn. Well, no, in fact, this sort of contest related now.
Yeah.
The named storms. It's been a decent autumn so far. And
yeah, I actually know how they performed at home, even though I wasn't there as well.
Yeah, Erin and
I checked
Amy.
In.
Well, you were home for Amy.
Yeah, Amy.
You surfed us, and the point the day before then.
Yeah, didn't really get up the match, Amy, either, did it?
No.
It was good to hear the day before in the...
Yeah.
Well, that's here. No one cares about Portugal.
Did you surf the windy day on Saturday or the Sunday?
Yeah, the Saturday.
Stayed in the motherland.
Yeah. I told Dodd on the Saturday, I said, wait now, the wind's coming down 15 miles an hour from 75 to 60. If you wait another hour... And he said, no, I want to be out in time to make dinner. I went in a bit after him and I stayed in the water and I had a better surf.
But there were 50 people in the wedge.
And the crowd thinned. But let's talk about Erin. Because, I'll do my story very quickly. I was in France and it maxed out and there was nowhere to surf.
That's the thing with France. Like, people go to France in the winter and stuff. Unless you're going to drive.
There's no way... Well,
you're kind of screwed.
So I was in the north end of the...
There was waves in
and
the
not-so-secret
left.
Yeah, and I drove up. I drove up and it was... really, really hard work. Tristan, my mate Tristan, posted a video on Instagram of me paddling out 300 yards one way and getting out 300 yards the other side and moving 600 yards. I think I caught it was a washout, really.
Yeah.
And you were at Atlanta. How was that?
Yeah, it was, I don't know, I found this hurricane tricky. It was like the wind wasn't quite right and I didn't time it right for when I got out. So I would say that it was Big tides was a long wait for swell, and I don't feel like I really got my fill. But that's hurricanes, I think.
So
left hand side, though.
I surfed the point and then the left hand side.
It wasn't too bad, yeah.
So we're straight back to you.
The left was the spot I came to early.
So we're straight back to you in the contest vest because you happened to surf in Hurricane Harry.
Yeah, oh my God.
In 25 foot pants.
That was like the biggest comp I've ever
seen. So that must be the biggest waves for a surf contest in Europe, I reckon.
Yeah, we had to paddle out. We had to paddle out the other side of this little island where there's a rip, but it wasn't a rip anymore. And I was waiting, there was almost an inlet, behind the cliff. And I had to wait in the channel. And there was these bombs breaking that I swear to God were I was waiting for my heat thinking all right, I'm going to have to crack one of these. And I was that's a 12 foot wave. How am I going to crack that on my 5'10"? And then I fell on a couple, got washed in, did a round. And lost. And I didn't catch the wave that put the other guy past me. I couldn't catch it because I got blown off the back.
Okay, right.
So that was my mistake. The 7 should have been mine. Some other kid got a 9 for a lip line. But yeah, that was howler. But
do you think, do you ever step up your board at all? Or are you just
I only took 5'10"s because they're my step ups. But then after it, I was having a conversation with Skinner Senior, Ben. And he was saying maybe I should travel with a 6'0 as well. But I mean, I'm 5'5"
Yeah.
So I'm pretty small, but when it's that big, he was
isn't it just getting into the wave?
Yeah, and just you still need to do turns, but it's you're not probably blowing the back out of it.
Yeah.
I was enjoying seeing some.
But
of them.
it was like a survival for most of it. Yeah, it was a bit frustrating.
You had relatively long boards for somebody your height, anyway, didn't you?
Yeah, I ride 5'8". like day in, day out. I ride a 5.7 occasionally.
I was enjoying just I was sitting in France, but I was watching the messages come through for that comp. I could see what was chat. Going on.
Yeah, no.
So it's like, right, after round 112, heat 3, we are going on hold. I'm like, why are they going on hold after heat 3? Please stand by. And then next thing, we're on hold. And then it goes, so then before that, it was a 10-minute paddle out. And then I see the next bit. They've upped the paddle out to 12 minutes.
Yeah, it was.
And then they start heat 5, and then they go, after heat 5, we are off for the day.
Yeah.
And they, I could imagine what was going
they
on.
They pulled it off, and me and Stan wanted to be like big dogs for some stupid reason.
But Stan went, or
yeah, Stan went, all right. He got a 9th, I think, which
and
was his best.
Was Lucas ripped off with his underscored, supposedly underscored?
I mean, I'm in the British camp, so I was like, fired up about it.
Yeah.
We were all like waving our arms and carrying on. But
he did an air on a 3-foot wave on the inside.
But that's the argument, yeah. It was obviously there was like 6-footers.
Yeah.
That they were just. The Euro has gone a bit like that. It feels like they just want you to do like a huge lip line.
Yeah.
If it's 4-foot or if it's 8-foot, like they just love you hitting big end sections.
Yeah. Well, and I think.
And I think if you watch, like he surfed them waves like crazy well because everyone knows how good he surfs.
Yeah.
And it felt like they. I don't know, I don't want the judges aren't going to listen, are they? But I think maybe they are. But I.
Johnny Meyer, right?
Yeah,
there you go.
He said a lot this season.
I'll warn him in advance.
But maybe they made, like, you know, like when they make a point, they want to make, like, a strong point that don't go on the 4-footers.
Yeah.
They sort of, like, used him
they
as
do
the, like,
do that.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, Johnny Meyer just mentioned, like, he specifically told me they do that because I remember asking him what we should call, I still don't know the name of it, in longboarding, when they stand on the board and they just rotate standing at, you know, I don't know if there's a name for that, like, is it a helicopter? You know, can you picture what I mean? Just literally
like a,
walking 360 without turning the board or anything.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I literally don't know if there's a name for that.
I don't know, they call it like a sex change in skating.
Is that what, yeah, so he's
I
like,
don't think that's
so long. So yeah, you're not allowed to say that.
He was on his break and I said, Maya, is there a name for this manoeuvre? And he was like, and he made a face so horrible that I was like, I said, sound like you kind of want that manoeuvre discouraged then, do you? I said, well, do you want us to say something rude about it? We can discourage people. And he calmly just looked at me and he went, no need. They will be discouraged by the scores.
Yeah.
So they do
that. It felt a bit like, come on, guys, like, yeah. He did like two big carves.
Yeah.
A foam climb, a wrap, and like an air reverse or something.
Yeah.
And there was much bigger waves, but it was like, he is.
And
like,
he didn't need a lot.
He got like
a
3.5 or something.
And he needed
And
four
then Andy Creer kind of like tapped one away, like pretty soft, and he got more of a score. I think he did get kind of wrong. But it would have been more simple if he went. Like Ben, who's obviously Lucas' biggest fan, but he's honest,
yeah,
did say to him before the heat and after, he said, I told you get the bombs.
Yeah.
So.
The judges, like the WSL, tell you, like, so for comps in WSL, they'll say, this is the criteria, this is what we're looking for.
Yeah, we get a text in the morning.
And
judging
what was
notes.
The text for this one? Just because it's so big.
I can read it to you.
They're pretty vague.
Okay.
Like, they kind of just cover, like,
just
surfing.
Right, okay.
Get bowed, do airs, hits.
No, but that one's out
for
of
this,
date.
They were pretty, like,
big maneuvers.
Big one critical sections are going to get scored highly. Like,
go
try break your legs and you'll get a big score.
If you could show me that text, I'm sure they'll break your legs.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Does everyone read the judging notes when it gets sent out?
Yeah, I reckon. But to be honest, if you've been doing it, you know what they're going to say. You watch the first heat and you go,
watch heat and you go,
that's what they want.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, watch heats.
But yeah, I mean, you probably should read it.
That's the autumn, so that brings us to 9 months done of the year, so 3/4 of the year. At the start of the year, Cindy and I made pledges.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
On our on how many surfs or exercises we were going to do. Now you're going to look down your nose at us, Pat.
I listened to one, though, and you were saying you, like, count an exercise or something.
That's the one.
To make a balanced life. You could, if need be, surf fake exercises, but...
Because I went surfing in really shit surf too many times last year.
That's fine.
It is, but when you've got a choice between, for me, like, I'm getting a bit longer in the tooth.
Yeah.
So I've got to look after my cardio. And, you know, so sometimes I would have been better off running or training than going
surfing. But sometimes
surfing.
I have this conversation with Alice sometimes. I sometimes think, actually, in this country, actually, I'll go to the gym is actually the cop out from like, oh, the surf's so bad that I don't.
Oh,
like,
you know,
some days, like, I'm like, the thought of flying AF right now is like pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I might just go to the gym, and you're like, wow, this is weird because the gym feels like the cop out where normally the gym's the one.
Is that when you're like watching the TV while you're on a treadmill?
Yeah, no,
I completely agree with you. And I have to say, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about this, and I was saying, like, I genuinely take pleasure from, like, if I'm in the right mood, it could be January, it could be horrible, 1 foot onshore, disgusting rest bay, where it's a brilliant session if you can do a turn. And I'll go in the water and paddle around as fast as I can and try and catch a load of waves. And I'll come out of breath, you've been in the sea, your skin's cold, and I'm genuinely happy that I did that. I've enjoyed that more.
But I guess, it's good for you to go to the gym as well, so... I think we probably shouldn't argue about it, as long if it's probably the people who aren't doing either is the problem.
Yeah. Now I'd like to backtrack and say I think you don't need to count surf related exercise. I think you should just do it pure. So I think you should just do surf. So I'm not counting any exercise this year. I decided just to go pure because I know when we talked 9 months ago,
but you've also
I said I'd have to. I've got kids, so I have to do other stuff. But I've decided I've surfed so many marginal surfs since January 1st,
right?
That I'm going full purity, and I'm trying to get to 185 by December 31st with no
which is
surf
half
related, half a year.
And so
once every other day.
Doesn't matter how I do it.
183 would be the equivalent of a surf for every 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah, so 185. So I'm at 148. I need 37 more. We're going into the good surf season.
Yeah, yes.
So I think I can do it.
Cynthia.
What about wave pools?
I've surfed a lot of... Oh, that counts. I'm going tomorrow. That's two different sessions.
Oh, wow.
Hey, because you get in, you surf... Like
it's pretty tired. It's pretty tired on the wave pool.
Another hour, I'm counting.
I'll
be at 150 tomorrow.
I'm on 90 surfs.
You're struggling.
I'm on 90 surfs, but I'm way... Well,
my kids are older than you.
Yeah, it's true. And my other half is currently
getting
a new PB in 5K and 10K like every single week at the moment because she's training so much as well. So
how old are
you? You're winning as a team.
Well, they're shortly to become 8 and 5 each. So
you're struggling.
Mine are 9 and 12.
I remember going up to surf Snowdonia and there was a Kiwi guy on the judging panel up there this was the para surfing, you know?
Yeah.
And he was asking me about the kids, and I remember telling him the age of the kids, and this guy just went, oh, in the trenches, mate. It was like... but I've got 66 other...
Are they into surfing?
The kids like surfing, my kids. Yeah, they love it. Yeah,
that count? Like a dad surf?
If I pop up on a few waves while I'm in with them, then I count it,
You're coming out of that sort of time now, though.
Yeah.
I feel quite selfish, though. Taking them surfing means not to surf for myself.
Well,
it's hard.
I go with a couple of mates of mine, and sometimes we'll leave one of them with, like, five kids, and then the other one dashes out and catches a few waves, and we swap around.
Do your kids surf?
My oldest likes to, and she keeps saying, let's do a dawn patrol. And I was like, you know what that is, right? You wake up really early and surf. She's like, that sounds good.
Lantwick car park in early morning for some reason is, like, depressing place as well.
I actually think Lancewood's great because every surfer there, no matter how bad it is, they'll be like, yeah, looks good, we should go out.
Yeah, no, I love the wave. But something about that the actual car path.
It's a lot of people.
Like, you know, like the slip in Langon, it's like not much
it's a
wind,
nice place,
it's like concrete.
Oh, you mean watching
to like get changed.
But
like I get to Lantwick at like 6 a.m. sometimes and it's like the floor is like muddy and the gravel and the wind seems to hit you and I'm just like, ugh. This is heavy.
The first thing you see is, you know...
It's like Gennif's the same, but it's where I live.
So. And it's unlikely that the first surfer to pull up and talk to you is going to be somebody you particularly like as well down in Lantwick. Well, obviously, with you as the exception, Cynthia.
People don't really talk much.
So I thought I was doing all right with the 90, because that's 10 a month,
which was my target.
Is because it's one every...
There.
So I'm not aiming for the half.
Wait, so it's how many a month?
So my goal is to get to 122 for surfs, which is... One for every 3 days.
You'll get there.
So she's going for one for every 2 days. I'm going for one for every 3 days.
Yeah, you're sweet.
So I'm literally on.
Mind
the
you, if you look at the forecast right now, you're screwed.
So
well, that's why
tomorrow.
I've got to go and go and go and when the clocks go back, I can generally get in before work for about another 3 weeks again. Then
You get that window.
It moves like and then it disappears again. So the before work thing
it goes
is big.
Faster. That window's quick.
But But the commitment I made, which was to exercise more instead of surfing, I've gone for that. And I have been doing a lot more, like, running, gym, things like that.
That's pretty cool.
I'm loath to say bike, because it's going to give the wrong idea. I don't got, like, lycra and, you know, gears. I'm not that.
You can bicycle and be
a person. Bike for me is a mountain bike, which I ride around the quarry near me.
Yeah. Oh,
that
serious.
Is the point, Pat. It is cool. Whereas the other biking is not cool.
Middle-aged men in lycra.
No, and it's not cool. You're right.
The one thing I realize with this surf counting thing is that I'm never doing it again. This is killing me.
If they're exercising, then it's...
So do you surf count, or do you train count, or gym count, or anything like that? And surely you'd have to be on a proper, like, program for...
I don't count, but...
But if you're a professional athlete, you must know what you need to do.
My training's all, like, religious.
It's a program.
Like, yeah, I can, like, open up an app and tell you how much kilo I've lifted this month or whatever.
Yeah.
But my actual surfs, I don't count, but... Like Luke or someone will check in and ask.
Would you ever?
I used to actually. My trainer, we haven't been doing it so much recently, but when every week my S&C Ben lift coach, and he'd ask how many surfs I've had.
Yeah, because I was going to say this. Like, if we had a swell and you surfed all the time, would it then be sensible to be careful with going? Because you got injured.
Didn't you? He doesn't love excuses.
No.
But. Maybe, like, so, like, my condition... So I'll do, like, four lifting sessions a week.
Right.
And then sometimes I might have three in a conditioning or four in a conditioning, which is more like interval fit, like, endurance training.
Right.
Sometimes we can take that away if I've surfed
enough.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But there is an argument that just surfing isn't good enough conditioning to improve your...
Did they talk to you about diet as well?
Not too much. I talked to Ben a bit, but I'm pretty religious with food, and my old man and my brother are like monks, so I'm pretty I'm sort of into that sort of stuff too much anyway.
Do you feel like when you condition quite a lot though, and then you surf hard, do you feel in those surfs then you're just a bit like, oh, I'm a bit, everything's a bit tight.
I feel like that's just like...
That's it.
You got
the whole pack.
Yeah, otherwise I'm going to be... this weight and this level.
So
you know what I mean? Like, you kind of just have...
What you guys are calling condition, I've always thought, like, you kind of... You wash a heavy conditioning session into your body through a surf. I always think of it that
like
way. It's like, no, it's like I've done it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not like...
For sure, it's...
It's not in your body until you've gone and surfed it
like
off.
Like, I'll do more conditioning probably if I'm not surfing a lot.
Yeah.
But the main... To be honest, it's a bit of a juggle. Like, that is the main juggle I always have, is, like...
Yeah.
Trying to go to, like, work, surf once or twice a day and train.
Yeah.
Is all a bit of a juggle, but you just gotta get up early and...
The one thing left that I thought we might talk about, maybe we'll get you back on sometime to talk about fins, Pat. I just feel as if after we've done all this talking about different types of weights, it's gonna kill our listeners to ask them about different types of fins.
Yeah, I love fins as
I know. I've been warned, yeah.
We could do a half hour on fins.
well, we could just do a fins episode one day. People have been asking us to.
Even if you ask me what
are you a fins person as well then, Cynthia?
The one thing I would love to know is...
By saying we're not going to talk about fins, we're suddenly
actually,
here we go.
Because if you love fins, I have a simple question. All the viewers, the listeners, will have this question too. I have a high-performance shortboard. I've kept the same fins. I want to know what fin should I go to transition. So I don't want to get a new board. I want to try a new set of fins. I've got just FCS2, like the general generic ones. Do I go John? Do I go Fute? Like, what do I do? What's the next?
I got a
John.
But
well, if you're FCS2, you can't go John.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, it's Future, isn't it?
I'm trying my best to throw the right words out. But, like, for someone like me, I've got, like, a 5'11".
Roundtail or squashtail?
Squashtail.
What size?
A 5'11". You mean
no,
the rails?
The fin.
The fin is the generic FCS for, like, my weight range.
Medium.
Yeah.
GP3.
So what's, like, for me or listener, because I think I'm kind of an average listener. I just want to try something new with that board and get a set of fins. I've also got a swallowtail.
And do you feel like your board could be stiffer or looser?
Looser.
You want it to be looser?
Yes.
So maybe get...
I'm already stiff.
make it simple. Maybe get... If it's the generic one, it'll probably be a Performer, which is like a...
I've got the Performer.
So if you want it to be looser, maybe get... a reactor. They're okay. That's like an upright fin. It's a bit okay. like the old Kelly Slater fin.
The K okay. fin, I was going to say.
Yeah, that just has less rake. Just less rake, so it'll change direction more acute.
Okay.
But it won't have as much drive and draw longer
So we
lines.
Did talk fins.
I just yeah. wanted to
well,
know
Well, we might as well ask
sake.
Him the three questions we asked Logan now then, because we're in. It was we asked Logan about three different sets of conditions and we said change your fins. Yeah. So we've
now, Logan's head's gone. He just changes everything.
Well, he said you were the person to ask this. So we're going to say that you've got one board, right? And I think we'd called it a rounded squash, and we'd gone, right, you're stuck with it. I know this would never happen to you, but you've probably taken the rounded squash in the car. And you pull up, and the surf is a decent size, and it's really clean and really, really good. So what fins do you put on it?
Rounded squash.
Yeah, it's a rounded squash, and it's quite good surf. It's like head high, maybe.
A rounded squash.
Really clean.
So usually we're saying rounded squash is like the everyday, like kind of loose.
Yeah, I'm saying it's the everyday. I never use a rounded squash anymore, but yeah.
I ride Future, so I probably ride the John Johns if the waves are good.
Oh, right, okay.
They're like quite stiff.
Yeah, no, I got
well, it. They're very stiff, actually, especially around here.
Yeah.
I don't actually ride them very much around here, but then as soon as I go abroad, they're like my main fin.
Right.
I just feel like you don't actually go fast enough sometimes here to get the carbon to flex enough.
Yeah, okay.
It feels quite rigid, but then I feel like when you're abroad, you go at such a high speed that you flex the carbon a lot easier.
See, I don't change fins ever. I've just got different fins on different boards. So John Johns are on my step-up board.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
If you put them in your everyday board in like average waves, you'd probably be like, Jesus, these are stiff.
Okay. So then the surf comes onshore and has become like really junky, but it's also gotten quite big now. And it's like, I suppose like you probably would only go out if it's a heat.
It's big.
And it's big and it's onshore. And not, you
and
know,
it was big before though, right?
It was
no,
big
it's picked
both.
Up. It's picked up and the wind's come up.
It's Pantene.
And they've called it on.
I'd stay with the John Johns.
You stay, okay.
If the surf's solid,
yeah.
I stay with the John Johns.
Okay.
And then if it gets small, I change. Or if it's the surf's slack.
So I suppose what I'm trying to get at as well is when the wave face is no longer clean, like you've got lumps to try to get across. Let's throw a bit of side
shoring. I'd stay with the Johns. Maybe I wouldn't have gone Johns if it wasn't that big and clean, and it was around here. Okay. I would have stayed with the DHDs that are basically the Mick Fannin but Futures.
Yeah.
So like if you ride Mick Fannins in FCS,
and then
DHD is pretty much the
overnight it's dropped and it's now really small and really strong offshore.
This is the worst contest
and like
ever.
You know really strong really strong offshore
really
and
small.
Really small and like Genethy like knee to waist high really there. Strong offshore
twin fin MR fins.
That would be the better option. But I'd probably, when it's really small, I ride them Mick Fannin DHDs. Because they're a big surface area.
So Logan said you know everything about fins, and you're basically telling us you surf with two different types of fins all the time, and that's it.
Yeah.
He's used technical words. He said rake and
fins. Yeah, he's talking about
I definitely don't know everything.
Yeah.
Like the coach we use in Oz, GB, who's now the head of GB. Did you see that?
Yes,
that
I did. Yeah.
He like barks at me if I put carbon in my board. He hates carbon.
Yeah.
Why?
Just thinks it's a bit unpredictable.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You do feel like when you get released with the carbon, you get this like kickback, almost like it's so stiff that it springs back.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fiberglass is much more of a like traditional feel, and you don't get any different quirks.
I gotta say, glass on fins. I still squirt.
For a
junk board that you're never gonna take abroad.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They're beautiful. You feel it.
I think if you ride Futures and then you ride like a Conor Coffin or something that's all fiberglass, you can get pretty close to that feeling.
Yeah. Right, last thing. We were just going to do a quick travel conversation about where would we recommend it's the winter, it's the Northern Hemisphere, winter is coming. People, you know, have got something left in their pocket.
A break
and
from the surf pump?
Away.
Where would you go?
Where are we going? And I know Cindy's already...
Is this for me or is this for Janelle?
Anyone. You, yeah.
But it sounds like you need a surf trip.
Yeah,
no,
we give you enough money now for like a good trip. Like, we'll give you a month, right? You can go somewhere for a month and you can afford it. Where are you going to go?
Personally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably just go to Portugal.
Okay.
I love Portugal so much.
Which part then? Because there's
like Gerês Airway.
Oh, okay. Not Peniche. not alcohol.
I mean, if I'm staying RSA, I'd probably end up in Peniche on northerlies or strong southerlies. But yeah, that sort of mid area, you can like dip to Praia Grande or south of the river or Peniche.
Right.
Just that general area. Like, Lisbon then.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because I know the area quite well and the waves are amazing.
Ah, fair enough.
Yeah, I did Morocco earlier this year. Too busy.
You haven't said it, why?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just too expensive, right?
Just sounded like unrealistic.
Oh, yeah. You could go anywhere, right?
Right.
But Hawaii is heaving.
So
in
what
the
about you then? You've added a cheat to this by saying that what if you weren't afraid of it still being cold?
So I thought the grand plan last year, I was convinced I was going to go to Ireland, the west coast, and do a winter surf trip there for a week. And just buy two winter wetsuits. And I'm still contemplating that.
Yeah.
But then there's the idea of daylight hours, the tides, so how often could you surf with, like, winter?
Yeah. And, like, have you got someone...
Just
you
go
need
by
someone to, like, tell you where to go, otherwise chasing
you
your tail.
Do a bit of research.
Do it.
I do know Jamie. He lives by me, so I could ask him.
Oh, yeah. I'd pass Jamie.
Yeah, no. But the thing is, like, Morocco is so heaving. Like, a lot of these spots, like the Algarve, is so heaving. Do you have to go to a cold water spot to get, a quiet surf? You're saying Arrecia, maybe, I guess you get it.
Yeah.
Like, just a quiet surf.
Portugal just, like, seems
hectic.
Like you can get waves without that many guys.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I need to go to Arrecia, then.
Or maybe, like, Madeira or something.
Yeah, well.
If you want to be big wave,
like,
Dave.
The rumour goes that big spot has been sort of a... damaged a bit by some construction.
Yeah,
the,
there's
the
some waves
brothers
there.
Were there, weren't there? Yeah.
Or Azores. Azores is
quiet. You've been to Madeira, haven't you? And surfed it big.
I went with my missus.
Oh, did you?
What about the Azores then?
I'm sure I've seen a picture of you surfing Jardim do Mar. No?
Other goofy.
Another goofy.
What about the Azores though? Is it okay?
Amazing.
But in the winter time, it's going to be
I've been in November and it was a lot of swell.
Okay, yeah.
But it was a lot of swell for the contest area.
Yeah.
You could just... If you were there free surfing, you'd go the other side of the island.
Right.
I've heard someone say that they'd gone to Cape Verde and had a good time at that time.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Yeah.
It's mental.
What time of year was that?
February.
February, there you go.
Crazy
waves. Maybe that's where I saw a picture.
You just get up early before the howling.
Yeah, that might be where
howling winds.
I'd go to...
You?
And that secret Katie Simmers wave may or may not be in one of them islands.
I've seen the GPS coordinates and it looks
from
the sky, it looks impossible to imagine that that's the wave.
Yeah, you know the Betteridges?
Yeah.
Betteridges?
Bell
Betteridge and her brother?
And yeah.
Yes.
They or their parents or they, I don't know, have just bought a house on the point where that main right-hander is.
Have they?
So they're sort of eyeing up like swells to get.
But it doesn't break
islands.
That often, does it?
Which one?
That wave.
Not that wave, like... the main wave. You know
famous
right. Ride?
Yeah, okay.
That's where I did the contest, but the... I can't remember what it's called.
But this is the Maps to Nowhere.
Yeah, we've almost given away the location.
There's a normal wave, like, that everyone knows.
Yeah.
A right-hander.
Yeah.
And it has a crazy left off it.
Mm.
They've bought a house there,
right?
But they're like sort of know where that other wave is, so that if they're already there, because they're going to spend winters there, they can.
When you look at the other wave on Google Earth, you can clearly see that it is not often a wave. Like, you know, you look at the topography.
Yeah.
Don't you want to surf that? I'm sure it'd wipe out, but watching Katie in that, like,
pretty
you know how she navigated the barrel.
I surfed against a Cape Verde guy the other day.
Yeah, where was that? What in the ISAs?
Yeah.
I'd go to Central America.
Oh, which country?
Ooh, maybe Nicaragua.
Offshore every day.
Offshore every day. The Papagoyo wind, they call it, further south in Costa Rica.
From a lake or something, isn't
it? Yeah, the Lago... I want to say the name of it. It's got a volcano in the middle of it. I've been to Nicaragua a couple of times and it's...
Is it hot? Like, super hot?
Not that wind cools you down.
Wore
a neoprene rash vest.
Oh, really?
Believe it or not, wear a neoprene rash vest in the afternoon when the wind comes up.
Oh, wow.
In the morning, it's warm enough to surf in just shorts.
It's not like the
Elsa. Really beautiful. It's really dry. There's no mosquitoes.
Right.
There's also no mangoes. Because I've been to Central America. If you go in the wet season, that's when the mangoes are fresh. That's the one perk. So, it's true, though. You know?
I can't imagine wearing a weight. I've only been to El Salvador. There's no way you're wearing a weight top.
Well, no, I went there, where that contest is in El Salvador. in 2000. No, now we are in terms of sounding like a boring old man in the pub. But 2006, I went there on a bus from Costa Rica.
20 years ago or so.
20 years ago.
On a bus.
On a bus from Costa Rica.
Phew.
I went to Nicaragua and then we went through Guatemala and Honduras. You have to get off and they point guns at you at the border in Honduras and everything. Yeah. And they film you with a camcorder as you get on the bus. And it's so that if like the bus is abducted or you're kidnapped or something goes wrong, they knew you were on that bus.
They didn't steal any mangoes.
They film the faces of everyone who's on the bus. And we stayed in El Tunco, which is where the contest is. And at the time, no one surfed La Bocana to the left of that rock. You know, there's that crop of rocks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No one would surf there.
Why?
Because there was, like, a beach bar that was like a Star Wars bar. You know, like, people would shoot each other and stuff in there.
Oh.
And it was at 6 o'clock every night. Everyone was back in the backpack as we stayed in, which was the only one place to stay in El Tunco. Bars locked up. You could hear gunshots at night. The whole place was terrifying. If you wanted to surf La Libertad, you jump on the bus and you go into town and it'd be like, be back by dark or otherwise.
What, did you go to Punta Roca?
Yeah, I went to Punta Roca on a bus with a couple of Israelis. Had a great surf there and that. There was a...
Nicer, like it's really almost hot. Too hot.
No, Nicaragua and Costa Rica are war, you know. And then also the other thing, we're not even talking about mainland Mexico. At that time of year, again, it's like dry and...
Yeah, that's... I should have picked
I want to do a boat trip.
Very nice.
In the ocean.
Ah,
eventually.
Nice.
One, what, I've never done
that's
one.
That's like the Menso.
Yeah, just like one of the islands. But I know it's like oversubscribed. I know I just deviated. But I want to do
the,
that.
The Pelagic. That's the one I've heard.
Pelagic Charters, yeah.
But we are talking about the UK...
Yeah.
The European winter.
We're going to go to Portugal too, probably.
Because we're talking about the European winter. Like, if you're talking about... The Southern Hemisphere winter, like Indonesia, is the best place in the world forever. There's no reason to go anywhere other than Indonesia.
Or I just go to Oz.
Yeah.
Oz is so sick.
That's true as well, yeah. Yeah.
If you're, like, trying to be a pro surfer.
I like Coolangatta.
Yeah.
I had a lovely time there. Paddled out, stood up on a wave. Halfway down the line in the Superbank on, I think it was, like, my first wave. Somebody shouted my name. It was Sam Burkett.
Oh, really?
Yeah, did you see him?
Yeah, I see him a bit.
Oh, because he's married to Gwen Spurlock's sister, isn't he?
So we see him a lot, yeah.
Yeah. And, lovely. Yeah.
Story time.
But, yeah.
Sounds like Portugal's a good bet.
But none of us are particularly...
£40 easy jet.
Yeah.
Nothing beats a jet to holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Bring it on.
All the Irish ferries for me.
Yeah, Dodd says you'd go on the Irish ferry. Well, anyway.
You don't like flying? Really? Apparently you're not scared of flying, you're scared of falling.
That's what
my missus told me.
Oh, I'm scared of flying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just sit down and belt up and be scared, though.
So is Bob Barton.
Because I want to be there the other end.
Bob Barton just takes drugs.
Hey, you got me stuck, storyteller. I was on... I had a ticket for Malaysia... Airlines 17 for 10 days later.
Wait.
So you know the one that got shot over Ukraine?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was going to Australia on it like 10 days later.
So the
actual flight I was booked to go on got shot out of the sky 10 days earlier. Like, so I wasn't meant to be on that.
Yeah, plane, okay, you're twisting it.
But my ticket was for MH17.
That plane.
I was going to Amsterdam to Kuala Lumpur to Australia.
But on that plane is what you're saying?
So the actual... I don't know if it would have been the same actual fuselage and aeroplane.
Okay.
But the flight code
that
got shot, I was supposed to be using it 10 days later. And we did still go, but they changed the code and the Amsterdam bit got cancelled. So I was actually benefited. We flew London straight to Kuala Lumpur on one of those... two-story planes, whatever they call them.
They didn't let you upstairs.
It was every single time the plane shook in the slightest. It was a long and unpleasant journey, I got to say.
Pretty unlikely, though.
You just shut up and get there, isn't it?
Yeah.
But,
you got to fly.
Yeah. So we'll update you all. We're going to come together one more time, we're hoping... before Christmas, we're gonna hopefully pin down.
Talk about fins.
We're gonna talk about surf forecasting. We're hoping to try and see if we can have a kind of a scientific episode and sit Jamie down and actually I'm not gonna say very much. And I'm just gonna let Cyndia, who actually happens to be are you a professor yet?
No, really there? I don't make that much.
But she is Dr. Sosdian is gonna pin Jamie down and ask him. About it all, and how
I just want to know when he's getting all the texts. So, what does everybody want to know?
And in that, we'll ask him where the best place in this winter is.
I always ask him why it goes onshore on the push.
We've done that.
And there's like the local tow.
Episode number, whatever it is. Tune in, guys. He's told us that.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've asked him about it. He said he did his dissertation on it.
He did.
Yeah. Something to do with like the tow of like the body of the water or something.
The weight of the water.
We should get into
there's so much water like coming friction. Into our channel that it like tows the onshore like, local friction. Atmospheric wind. So.
That was it, air friction.
Oh, and why land hits clean on the drop on a suddenly.
It is fun to have those conversations though.
Well, that's a crazy one. Yeah. Mm. Land hits like weirdly clean on a dead onshore on the drop.
Yeah. Someone said something.
Really something about the wind coming over Devon and like never like dropping.
Yeah. Dodd's bound to have turned us off by now.
Yeah.
Still going.
Are we still on?
No. Okay.